You asked me, what do you spy? I want to say I spy a God who is in ultimate control. I spy a God who still rules in the affairs of man. He sets timetables and times and seasons. I spy a God who says to the ocean, you can only come this far. A God who says to the wind, be quiet, and to the storms, hush. I see similarities with our situation today. We have trained physicians. I listened to Dr. Fauci and Birx and people at the CDC. And I listened to Larry Kudlow, trained business people. These are brilliant people. But the more I listen, the more I'm beginning to feel that maybe, just maybe, we have certain limitations. We are quickly finding out that this storm is different. It's kind of like flying in a plane and the captain has declared an emergency because of engine failure or fire on board, but there is no place to land. What this storm is showing us is that there are some storms that we cannot easily control. I look at empty shelves in the grocery stores. I look at record unemployment. I look at people's lives being destroyed. It tells me that my confidence cannot be rooted in my expertise or in the things that I treasure. Despite what we are going through, we know that this too shall pass. As a kid growing up, we used to play a game called I Spy with my friends. And they will say to me, I spy. And then I was supposed to say, what do you spy? And then they will give me some clues, like, well, it has traces of blue and white, and it's soft, and it moves. And then I was supposed to guess what it was. Most of the times, I have to confess, I couldn't guess the correct answer. And then I will be given more clues and more clues until I got frustrated and said, okay, I give up. And then they will reveal what it was. And sometimes it will be something as simple as the sky. It's blue, traces of white, and it appears to move. If you had said to me a month ago or a month and a half ago, I spy, and I would have asked you, what do you spy? And you'd said to me, I spy the biggest entity in the world. It has strong institutions with millionaires and billionaires and politicians and pundits. But it will crumble and come to a grinding halt with hundreds of millions of people running for fear. I would have said, I don't see it because it's not real. This game is based on reality. It has to be something real. And because I couldn't see it, you would have to tell me the answer. And if you told me that it was the U.S. or the world, I would have said to you, you are insane. Yet today, here is the scenario. Last week, I shared this information with you. 1.7 million people infected around the world. 500,000 people infected in the United States, and 17,000 infected in Michigan. Keep those numbers in mind. And the deaths in the United States last week was 18,777, 7 days later. 2.2 million people infected around the world. In the United States, we now have 37,000 deaths. And in Michigan, over 30,000 infected. Our churches are closed. Our schools are closed. We have record people filing for unemployment. To be precise, 22 million Americans filed for unemployment last week. There is no safe country to go. People's hearts are failing them for fear. One of my friends told me about the portable refrigerated morgue that is being set up at her hospital because the morgue in the hospital is now overrun. Remember last week I said before this virus started, there are about 40 million Americans with a diagnosis of anxiety. Today we have more than 140 million Americans reporting being anxious and fearful. The sale of alcohol and marijuana has skyrocketed. It is projected that the rate of suicide will go up. Christians and some of my friends are beginning to experience what is called night terrors, which is you go to bed at night and then you wake up in the middle of the night, and if you sense any symptoms like the itching of your throat or sneezing, or you think you may have a temperature, you begin to have a sense of panic. Despite all of that, I still want to say, I spy. And you ask me, what do you spy? I want to say I spy a God who is in ultimate control. I spy a God who still rules in the affairs of man. He sets timetables and times and seasons. I spy a God who says to the ocean, you can only come this far. A God who says to the wind, be quiet, and to the storms, hush. So our message for today is one of hope. It is very simple, three parts. I want to focus on making sense of the external, what's happening around us. And then I want to focus on making sense of the internal, what's happening within us. And then I want to provide some strategies for coping. Let us go to our text. The book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, reading from 35 to 40. It's a familiar story. I just want to give it a different twist. On that day, when evening had come, he said to the disciples, or he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. That's another sermon. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, and this is what we're going to focus on, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" Our topic is beyond fear. Beyond fear. Our Father and our God, in times like these, we need a Savior. Remind us, O God, that you are the God of the storm. You are the God of this universe. And you are the God of any pandemic. Keep us calm in this storm, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know the story very well. Jesus was asleep on the boat in the lake in a storm while the disciples struggled to keep the boat afloat. The storm intensifies. The disciples became frantic. They roused Jesus from his sleep and scream above the noise and the sound of the wind and rain. They said, "We are perishing. Don't you care?" I want us to take another look at this saga and see if we can extract some fresh food for the soul. Keep in mind, these were trained fishermen. They grew up on these waters. They knew exactly what to do with storms. This was not their first rodeo. They could navigate storms like this with their eyes closed. They had dealt with storms all their lives. They had this. They soon realized that there are certain occurrences in life that are beyond their control, especially those events that occur suddenly. I learned something about this crisis. In a time of crisis, we naturally look to our skills and training and ability for solutions. That's how we survive. Especially if we are good at our craft. I see similarities with our situation today. We have trained physicians. I listen to Dr. Fauci and Birx and people at the CDC. And I listen to Larry Kudlow, trained business people. These are brilliant people. But the more I listen, the more I'm beginning to feel that maybe, just maybe, we have certain limitations. We are quickly finding out that this storm is different. It's kind of like flying in a plane and the captain has declared an emergency because of engine failure or fire on board, but there is no place to land. What this storm is showing us is that there are some storms that we cannot easily control. I look at empty shelves in the grocery stores. I look at record unemployment. I look at people's lives being destroyed. It tells me that my confidence cannot be rooted in my expertise or in the things that I treasure. Whether it's a house, a car, a job, a bank account, whatever it is, we are quickly learning. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. We go to bed hoping that somehow this will stop. But every day we wake up, there is a new challenge. Let me ask you the same question Jesus asked the disciples. Why are you so afraid? And I don't care who you are. Let me say this. If you are not afraid, something is wrong with you. Last week, with our unofficial toll, 8 people responded when I asked, can you be a Christian and still be afraid? 6 of them said yes, and 2 said maybe. Let us take a deep dive into this question that Jesus asked the disciples. Why are you so afraid? What was the real question here that Jesus was asking? You know, at first blush, it looks as though Jesus was rebuking them for exhibiting a God-given response that is natural. It didn't make sense to me. After all, it's normal and natural for us to be afraid. We were designed to be afraid. Last week I said, and just to recap for those of you who couldn't join us, when God designed us, He designed us with a tiny organ in our brain the size of a little walnut. It's called the amygdala. So if you were to drill a hole through the top of your head, please do not try this at home, and through your cheek, and they will intersect, you will hit the amygdala. The amygdala is responsible for storing and retrieving strong emotional responses like joy and anger and fear. And by the way, the amygdala was created when man was created. God designed us even before sin to feel certain emotions. Second, God made our bodies with hormones like cortisol, the stress hormone, or adrenaline, the fight or flight hormone. In fact, without these natural defenses, the human race will become extinct, so that when you see a spider, you're supposed to run. If you're in a building that is on fire, you're supposed to run. Those are natural biological responses that we have. So I was curious when Jesus said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Let us take a look at what Jesus was really asking. Let us dive a little deeper. This is what he said to them. Why are you so afraid? Let me talk about fear. There are some natural fears. For instance, we have agoraphobia. Fear of open spaces. There are some people, they're just afraid of open spaces. And there's nothing that they could do about it except maybe go to treatment. They're just afraid of open spaces. Then there is agoraphobia, Acrophobia, fear of heights. There's some people, they're just afraid of heights. They go up a flight of stairs and they immediately become afraid. Aviophobia. I have a friend who sits in row number 8. She swears that she will never go on an airplane. So she fits this definition perfectly. And I'm going to ask my friend, Sister Liverpool, if you're watching, just to turn away for a minute. And there's a reason why I'm telling you to do that. Aphibiophobia, this is fear of snakes. Some people are afraid of snakes. The point I am making is that we have certain innate responses to things in the external environment. But this is not what Jesus was asking the disciples. He was not talking about phobos. That is the Greek word for phobia. I researched this text a little, and I saw that Jesus was talking about delos. Let me give you the definition of delos. Being overcome by terror, that you begin to act cowardly, you begin to panic. This is what Jesus was asking his disciples, not why are you so phobos. He was asking them, why are you so delos? Why are you so terrified? Remember when Joshua and Caleb returned from spying the land, and they gave a report about the beauty of the land, and then they said, however, we saw the people, and they looked like giants. They were huge. And then the people started back repeating to them, if they look like giants, then we must look like grasshoppers to them, and we look like grasshoppers to us. Therefore, we can never go into that land. That is delos. This is terror. This is what Jesus was asking them. Why have you allowed delos to overtake you to the point whereby you become terrified? Let me further create some distinction between phobos and delos, and then I'm going to ask you the question, what are you feeling? Is it phobos, normal fear, or is it delos, sheer terror? Phobos says, I'm out of a job. I need to pay my bills. I need to look around and see what I can do. That is normal fear. Phobos says, after this thing is over, I may be set back, and I don't know how I am going to make it, but my faith will not be shaken. Phobos says, I have 20 rolls of toilet paper. I've never understood that one. But because Trevor has none, I'm going to drive by his house and leave a couple on his doorsteps. That is phobos. I'm concerned, I'm scared, but I'm still going to act. Delos says, I'm out of a job. I think I'm going to have to use the tithe money. Delos says, I'm going to hang on to every penny that I have. Delo says, I'm going to stay glued to the news day and night because I need to find answers for myself. Delo says, even though my blood pressure is rising rapidly, I'm going to stay tuned in, even though I'm sleeping 2 hours a night. I have to stay in this posture of pure panic. That's Delos. It's important to know the difference. Let me tell you why. And if you miss everything that I have said so far, pay attention to this. Every time Delos, terror, panic, the panic that the disciples felt, every time Delos shows up and takes control, you have to give up your faith. When you give up your faith, you give up your freedom. Delos is the opposite of faith. Jesus said to the disciples, why are you so Delos? Because of Delos, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and only two of them made it over into the promised land. Delos is destructive. Jesus said to them, why are you so Delos? I want to show you this slide and take a minute. We're talking about Delos versus phobia. And the question that Jesus asked his disciples, why are you so Delos? Remember 9/11, when we lost 2,996 people. Many of us became Delos. I'm going somewhere with this. And we consented to the passage of the Patriot Act of 2001 that was signed into law. When Delos shows up, we surrender our faith and our freedom. With the passing of that act, we gave the government permission to wiretap and surveil us without our knowledge. We gave the government permission to arrest and detain indefinitely without due process. That's what Delos does to you. This is why Jesus asked them the question, why are you so Delos? Delos is destructive. Let's go a little deeper. That act was supposed to expire in 2005. Guess what? It never did. That is one freedom that we will never regain. Let us talk about today. Follow me closely. In this country, to date, we have more than 37,000 people who have died from the COVID-19 virus. We have become terrified. We have become Delos. To the point whereby we are willing to give up our freedoms. Let me explain. If you had told me 2 months ago that in the United States of America, you could be arrested for going to church, I would have said, you are insane. With our stay-home order, which, by the way, is appropriate, if you defy that order and congregate in this church today, you could be arrested. When Delos shows up, you give up your freedom. Let us go a little deeper. That's the Patriot Act, never to be recalled. Take a look at this slide. We were in China in December, and as we were going through immigration, one of our group members was pulled over. We didn't know why. And then we sought to find out. And we were told that it is because he had a fever. And I became confused and concerned. And I said, well, how would they know that you had a fever? And he said, as we were going through immigration, they were able to scan all of us, and they took our vitals, our temperature, without us knowing. That's, by the way, how China's been able to get ahead of the curve and monitor people who are potential carriers of the COVID-19 virus. I'm going somewhere with this. Apple and Google have now developed an app that will be installed on your devices. You know the devices that you can't leave at home? On your cell phones and on your iPad. And this app has the ability to scan your body, to take your temperature, to track your location, and others who have this app will be able to tell as you approach them if you have a temperature and you are a potential carrier of COVID-19 so that they can avoid you. It sounds good. Here's the problem. We are giving up another freedom. And I'm pretty sure when the next pandemic comes along, because it will, we will not be able to take these freedoms back in terms of being surveilled and tracked. When Delos shows up and we panic, we give our freedoms away. So that's the external. I want to talk now about the internal. How do you manage Delos and the external? Here's my first observation. Back away from the bad news. I don't think we should bury our heads in the sand and ignore the news. We need to be vigilant to keep up with the latest restrictions in our communities. However, we cannot inundate ourselves with bad news to the point where we become terrified. I must confess, I'm an avid consumer of news. Because now that I'm working from home, I used to have the television on, listening to Dr. Fauci and Burks and Sanjay Gupta and other experts from the CDC, and I realized something. The more I consumed, the more I became afraid. The more I consumed, the more I moved from Phobos to Delos. The more I consume, I started losing my faith. Coming back to the words of Jesus, why are you so Delos? Research shows that just 14 minutes of negative news have been found to increase both anxious and sad thoughts. Minimize your exposure by setting time limits for viewing and internet browsing. If you can, stick with it for about 15 minutes during the day, and at night, skip the news completely. Put your phone down. Turn the television off. You are embedding unhealthy fears in your heart. The truth is, while we are quarantined at home, there is nothing that we will miss by stepping away from the media for a few hours. Vigilance does not require hearing every press conference and reading up on every development. This is not good for us. Our minds and hearts and souls need to breathe. We were not made for constant negative input. So if you are like me, you need to release yourself from the burden of always being in the know and instead actively choose to rest in the all-knowingness of God. Talking about controlling the internal, and this one is actually a no-brainer. And I know you're going to nod your head and say yes. Refocus on what you can control. It's so simple, but it's profound. There are things we cannot control. There are some storms we cannot control. It's easy to nod and say, yes, I hear you, and then you go back to becoming a slave of Delos. Some of us might say it's impossible. When there is a pandemic lurking in the street, I cannot control the coronavirus. I cannot control where it spreads. I cannot control policies. I don't even know what I don't know. What I can control is what God has put before me, and that is following social guidelines. I cannot control the economic condition. My default behavior in a crisis is to neglect what's in front of me in favor of needless worry. That's the opposite of faith. I need to trust in God. I need to release my burden to Him. I need to be still, and I need to let God direct the flow of my life. That's my second observation. Focus on what you can control. And here is this one. Killing the ants in your life. Talking about managing the internal. Ever since man sinned, man became a negative thinker. And I want you to fact check me on this. When God came looking for Adam, what did Adam say? I am hiding. Adam was trying to protect himself. And over the years, that's how we have learned to protect ourselves, by engaging in negative thinking, which is not necessarily a bad thing. For instance, if you are camping in the forest and you hear a growling noise or sound outside, you're supposed to assume that it's a predator. If you look out your window and you see a masked stranger approaching with a gun in his hand, you are not supposed to assume he's coming to give Bible study. You are supposed to become alarmed. That's how we survive. Negative thinking, however, can be very destructive. researchers have demonstrated that negative experiences have a greater impact on the brain than positive experiences. People pay more attention to negative news than positive news. That's why the news cycle usually begins with murders and political disasters and coronavirus and calamity, because we pay attention to negative input. Look again at the disciples. Can you imagine the disciples are focused on the storm and the wind and the rain, and Jesus is right there in the boat? Think about that for a minute. That is crazy. The person who created the wind and the waves was right there in the boat, but they were focused on the wind and the storm. Automatically, they were thinking, we're going to die. Lest you judge them, I gotta tell you, we do exactly that. Some of us, during the storm, we engage in negative thinking, and our thoughts run something like this. I know I'm going to lose my job. I know I'm not going to be able to pay the mortgage. I know this stimulus check is not enough. I am feeling some pain, but I cannot even go to the hospital. It's natural for us to engage in negative thinking instead of looking at the Savior. We have to work real hard to kill those ants. I know things are bad, but remember this. If Jesus is in the boat with me, why am I focusing on Delos? Why am I engaging in negative thinking? Church, let us remember we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When Jesus is in the boat, I can relax knowing that sometimes I'm going to be afraid. I'm going to have phobos and phobia, but I will never allow Delos to overtake me. Jesus is in the vessel. I can smile at a storm. Here's my odd observation. As we go through this, we need to reach out to the community. We need to call someone and see how they are doing. Better still, send someone some financial support. I'm getting close to home now. You know, last evening, Sister Kathy and I, we were on the phone. You want to know what we were discussing? The two of us, old fogies. Sorry, Sister Kathy, I know you're listening also. Sister Kathy and I were trying to figure out how we could start a money chain. You heard me correctly, a money chain. And I said, Sister Kathy, here's what I think we can do. I am going to put some money in your account. And we figured out how to send money via Zelle, and she had Cash App. And Sister Kathy smiled and made a funny remark. She said, Colin, you know I'm only doing this because it's you, because this could be a scam. I'm like, I know, Sister Kathy, but I'm going to put some money in your account. And here's what I need you to do. You can keep some of that money, or you can add to it, but you have to pass it along to someone else. And she was like, Okay. And half an hour later, Sister Kathy called me back. And she was bouncing off the wall with enthusiasm. I'm talking about reaching out to the community, even in a time of storm. I'm talking about overcoming Delos. You see, because it's impossible to exercise generosity and faith and be terrified at the same time. The two are mutually exclusive. Which is why Jesus said, look at the text again, why are you so afraid that you have no faith? So we decided to engage in a faith venture. So Sister Kathy sent off that money to someone else with the message, you can keep some, you can add to it, but you've got to pass it on. And on Friday afternoon, Friday coming, whoever is the recipient of that money, that money chain, you need to send that money to 734-516-0575. That is Sister Shaw's phone number. So we're going to exercise faith even in the face of Delos. We're going to show that when Jesus is in the vessel, yes, things may not always work out right, but we're going to hang on to Jesus' coattail, and we're going to bless somebody in this time of storm. And here's my final observation. Moving beyond fear, we need to lean into God. If we are not careful, we'll waste this time in isolation with constant worrying and filling our hearts with unbelief instead of allowing God's word to shape us. We can be disciplined by the news cycle, by social media, or we can spend the time fasting on spiritual food. This is the time to lean into God. This is the time to lean into family, because I tell you what, some of us may not make it through this pandemic. We have already lost quite a few members. This is the time to lean into God and to get closer to Him. I want to close with this affirmation on the screen. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And then if you can repeat with me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, continue to guide us through this storm. Help us to remember to focus on you. Help us to remember to reach out to one another. Most importantly, O God, help us to lean into you and save us when you come. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, Amen.